Ryan Stoller is a child liberation theologian and brings his own experiences of having been homeschooled to his work in advocacy for children in educational and religious contexts. Ryan, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Your report is rich in detail, and we will link to it from stateofbelief.com. But in the context of a conversation that of necessity has to be more limited in scope, start, please, with an introduction to who the homeschoolers you're referring to are.
Yeah, I mean, the homeschooling movement is large and diverse. When it first started out in the 60s, it was something that was started by more liberal and progressive people. You have people like John Holt and Pat Ferenga. They started the Growth Without Schooling magazine, and that really caused homeschooling to explode in the 60s. And then starting in the 70s, though, when the Supreme Court, you know, handed down the court cases on desegregation and taking official public prayer out of schools, you had conservative Christians taking their kids out of public school and then either putting them in private school or homeschooling them. And that is what really caused the homeschooling movement to become commandeered, really, by conservative evangelicals. And those are the people that are the focus of my expose. And they're definitely the people that are driving the public policy the most when it comes to homeschooling. The most significant leaders of the homeschooling movement are from the religious right. They're far-right extremists, and they see homeschooling not as a, you know, just an alternative educational practice, like so many homeschoolers do see it as, but rather as a tool for social and political power.
Ryan, how has GHEX managed to stay virtually unknown for an entire decade?
Yeah, so the Global Home Education Exchange, which I'll refer to as GHEX for short, that is an organization that was founded by conservative evangelical leaders in the U.S. homeschooling movement, primarily people who are associated with HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. That's the largest and most powerful homeschool lobby in the United States, and I'd say also the world, specifically because they have decided to expand their advocacy from the United States internationally. And that's why they founded GHEX, specifically to export homeschooling around the globe and expand their influence, really. You know, for decades, the religious right has been interested in dominionism and taking back the United States for God's glory. And that's, you know, a core aspect of Christian nationalism. But what we're seeing now is that that nationalism is going global, really. So we now have to deal with not just Christian nationalists, but Christian globalists. And GHEX is a key part of that.
I can't understand how they have stayed so unknown by much of the nation.
Yeah, I think that that's a problem that's not unique just to GHEX. That's a problem that's specific to homeschooling. And I mean, really, honestly, a lot of evangelical problems, it seems like, you know, liberals and moderates tend to not really take them seriously. And I mean, I've been involved with homeschool advocacy now for about a decade. And myself and other homeschool alumni have founded multiple organizations to try to bring attention to this issue and raise awareness and try to change public policy. And it is such an uphill battle, mm-hmm. not just trying to counter, you know, the religious right homeschoolers, but just trying to get people to pay attention. Yeah. People think that these, you know, homeschooling communities and subcultures are just extreme. They're on the fringe. And yet we've seen over the last 4 years, you know, especially with Trump in power, that they have moved from the fringe to the mainstream. And people are starting to wake up to that fact. And I think that's why we're starting to see a little bit more attention paid to it, like the article written by Promoser and Schokel, which was an excellent piece and groundbreaking. So hopefully we'll start to see more attention paid to this, but it's definitely going to be a challenge.
Are you surprised by the expanding of this?
I am surprised by it. I was aware that the religious right has been exporting their cultural wars overseas for several years now, especially with the World Congress of Families. If you're not familiar with the World Congress of Families, that is an international organization, much like the Moral Majority, and they're just trying to unite social and political conservatives around the world, just like GHEX is doing, but on a larger and broader scale regarding all sorts of conservative issues like opposing same-sex marriage, trying to criminalize LGBTQIA behavior, and trying to ban abortion. So I was aware that there was that, but I had not realized exactly how successful they had been until I had read that article by Promoser and Schokel. And I mean, it's honestly terrifying for me. You know, I've spent 10 years trying to fight against the influences of these more extreme religious right communities. And I saw them get closer to power than they ever had before with Trump in office. He gave them unprecedented access to the halls of power. And, you know, we got Biden, and that gives us this sense of small sense of relief and reprieve. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the religious right is not stopping, and they are so organized. And that's what a lot of people don't understand about the religious right, is that organization is their superpower, and they know how to unite people across the board in the conservative movement. You know, they can bring together evangelicals, you know, conservative evangelicals, conservative Catholics. They're bringing the conservative Russian Orthodox churches on board. So it's definitely scary to see people that are this good at organization expanding their influence around the world. And I've seen what they can do with that organization. So it's definitely very terrifying, honestly.
You write about how some of the most powerful nationalist Christian supremacist names are involved in the movement as we now know it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have, you know, Michael Ferris, who was the founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and he founded Patrick Henry College, which is a college for homeschoolers. You know, I mentioned this in my article that, you know, Ferris was very much influenced by Rush Dooney and Christian Reconstructionism, and he believed in creating a parallel society for homeschool kids so that they would not be influenced by worldly, you know, ungodly ideas or philosophies or practices. And so he created a college so that homeschoolers would stay within the fold all the way from kindergarten through college graduation before they're ready to step into the world. And at that point, they're supposed to leave the parallel society and try to take, you know, the United States back for God. Mm-hmm. And you know, Ferris has made so many friends and allies through the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and he's now the president of the Alliance Defense Fund, ADF, which is one of the most powerful religious right lobbying groups here in the United States, and they've been involved now internationally as well. They have been trying to establish homeschooling as a human right in European human rights courts, and they've also been responsible for some of the, you know, anti-gay laws in Russia, in Uganda. They've supported the sterilization, the forced sterilization of trans people. So these people are, they're very committed to what they're doing, and they're very good at it. And the Christian nationalism aspect is so interesting, because for decades they've been saying that they need to bring the United States back to its Christian roots, and the United States has been ordained by God to be, you know, the protector of the world. And they didn't want the United States to be subjected to any international treaties because of sovereignty. But now they've changed their focus and they're going global. And it's really interesting to see people who are Christian nationalists now become Christian globalists. Mm. And that is a change that is very significant. I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to that or starting to change their language. Because when we think of nationalism, of course, we're thinking about, you know, our country, or, you know, anyone, any given country that the person is from. And there's this, you know, isolationist aspect to that mentality. But now they've decided that they're going to go global. Yeah. And they want each country to be shaped just like how they want the United States to be shaped. Yeah. So their goals and targets have expanded drastically.
And we're discussing his research into this powerful authoritarian network. How did you first become aware of the international ambitions that these people have?
I first became aware of it when I was writing an article on Alan Carlson, who is the founder of the World Congress of Families. And Carlson gave a lecture at Patrick Henry College, the homeschool college founded by Michael Ferris. And in that lecture that he gave, he talked a lot about his work with the World Congress of Families. And I started looking into that and noticing that the fingerprints of homeschool leaders were all over that. Carlson himself is a homeschool apologist. He's a really good friend with Mike Ferris. And really the groups of people that make up the World Congress of Families, and then the groups of people that make up GHEX, there's a lot of overlap between them. Mm-hmm. So once you start looking into any of these international organizations, you'll start to see that the homeschoolers' fingerprints are all over them. Even if they don't seem to have anything to do with homeschooling, the worlds there have become so intertwined now, it's hard to distinguish them.
Ryan, why are they really doing this?
I think it's power, and I think that they are going on the offensive. So the Homeschool Legal Defense Association has now for years, they've been opposed to the United States ratifying United Nations treaties. HSLDA has successfully shot down the ratification of the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, the Convention Against Violence Against Women. We haven't ratified any of those treaties, and that's specifically because of HSLDA. They believe that once the United States submits to international treaties, that that will take away the rights of parents to do what they want with their children. And so they're going on the offensive and trying to change basically those treaties themselves, the language of international law, so that they not only have secured the rights of parents in the United States, but also the rights of parents internationally, so that that will not eventually be a threat to the rights of parents in the United States. So I think that what they're really going for is the most power that they possibly can get a hold of. And I don't say that, you know, I think it's negative, of course, but I'm not, that's just a, I'd say just a description of what they're going for is power.
Is it going too far to call this cultural imperialism?
I don't think so at all. I think that's exactly what it is. I think that we're seeing the religious right trying to remake the entire world in their image, which is absolutely cultural imperialism. I mean, to some really significant extent, I mean, we could even call it colonialism, because we're trying to make everyone, you know, line up with our ideals of white supremacy and Christian supremacy instead of learning how to live in a pluralistic world. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest issues here, is that the religious right is opposed to pluralism and democracy. And we will not be able to successfully fight against them or successfully learn who they are unless we understand that the movement by and large is anti-pluralist and anti-democratic. Yeah. So it can't just be reasoned with. We have to make sure that we are protecting all people's rights, all marginalized groups' rights. Otherwise, if we just let the religious right do what they want, then we're going to see a lot of people's rights taken away.
Yeah. You write about the profoundly racist aspects of early modern homeschooling movements in the United States. What are the real dangers, and how close are these people to achieving their desired goals?
I think that they are getting pretty close, but they've had some setbacks. You know, Trump not being reelected for a second term, that definitely set them back. But there's always the possibility that he'll run again, of course. And I'd say that, I mean, the fact that they've gone international and been so successful doing so, I think that's going to be really the key challenge, is catching up to them. Because as we've talked about earlier, I mean, they've, GHEX has had a whole decade to do their work, and no one has known about it. I mean, I didn't even know about it. And I've been studying homeschooling regularly for the last 10 years, in addition to growing up in that world. And that was news to me. So if that's news to me, it's going to be news to a lot of other people. And I think that that international threat is probably the biggest challenge that we have. I think that the most dangerous ambitions, I mean, is their desire for power at all costs. You know, the homeschooling movement has created so much collateral damage, and they don't care about that. I mean, the thousands of homeschool kids who have been abused and neglected, you know, they call them not real homeschoolers, or figure out some way to say that they don't count. There have been, you know, so many of the domestic terrorists that we've seen over the last three decades have been homeschool alumni. And none of these problems that keep coming up that should be red flags, that should be telling us, hey, we need to change how we're doing homeschooling. We need to change the culture. We need to think about children in healthier ways. Like, none of that matters, because their ambitions are for power, and they're not going to let anything stop them. And that's, you know, they need to realize that their pursuits are having real harm and causing real damage for children and adults. And honestly, I think I don't know what's going to get them to come to that realization. That's the biggest challenge for me personally is so many homeschoolers just don't want to listen. You try to talk about these issues, they put their fingers in their ears and say, nah, nah, nah. And that's because they're so focused on that ambition of making sure that they have the power that they want.
You had an experience as a homeschooled young person. How does that inform you right now as you look at how we deal with a potentially insular, authoritarian, divisive, and arbitrary way being done with these kids? What comes from you inside by experience?
That is an excellent question. I think that my own experience helps me to see all of the ideologies and practices in a very personal way. I've seen how the homeschooling world and culture has hurt my friends. I've seen how it has hurt myself. And that's anything from self-injury to mental illness to suicide to, child abuse. And I've seen so many of those young people become adults who are struggling, and it just breaks my heart because I know that homeschooling can be good. I didn't have a perfect experience, but I had a generally positive experience being homeschooled. My parents did a decent job of educating me. And so it just makes me so angry to see that this thing, homeschooling, that could be so wonderful and so uplifting for children, if it was just a children's first movement, it's just being used to destroy future generations. And that's such a shame because it should be used as something to protect and uplift instead.
Ryan Stoller is a child liberation theologian and a longtime activist on behalf of young people in educational and religious contexts. His website is rich in persuasive material on the proliferating homeschooling movement as an international cultural, economic, and authoritarian threat. That website is www.rlstollar.com and is where you'll find the just published report entitled How Homeschoolers Plan to Take Over the World. Ryan, thank you so much for bringing your expertise and your empathy to us today and for taking time to talk with us and our listeners on State of Belief.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.